Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you, Douglas, and welcome live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. I just love it here in Houston. We are on the last day of May. Wow, 2020, can you believe it? May 31st, we're getting ready to start a whole new month in the month of June tomorrow. And wow, has time just not flown by. I hope everything's going well with you. And I tell you what, we have just an awesome guest with us tonight. I'm just thrilled to have our guest this evening. And we have so many exciting things that's getting ready to happen here at the program and with a book coming out and maybe a couple other items along with that book here shortly, hopefully within the next, we're shooting for the next 30 days. We're having a little bit of issues of printing and making sure everything's just right. We want to not rush into it, prefer to have a quality product than a fast one, but stay patient with us. But it's just great having you with us. And we want to let you know that the next hour, if you invest in us an hour of your time, I promise you, you're going to get something out of this hours of time that you're going to be able to take with you, use in your life, use in your day tomorrow, use with your friends, the people that you interact with. But, you know, as we go into ending one week, starting another, ending one month and starting another, I just want to kind of give you an encouragement or two of how to stay positive as we're getting ready to roll into a new month. And I want to let you know, tomorrow morning, wake up every morning with an idea that something exciting, something wonderful is going to happen that day. And just understand that that's a possibility. A consistently positive attitude is the cheapest fountain of youth that you can have. And always believe that there's going to be something that happens to you in a great way each day. Another thing I want you to kind of remember as we go into the world, that the world has a basket full of challenges right now. Don't shy away from those. Embrace life challenges. Uncharted territory in your life is not good or bad. It just is. Yeah, it may rattle your foundation. You may be tempted to pull back a little bit and say you can't do it, or you may want to just bail completely. But those are the exact conditions that sets you up for massive, massive amounts of personal growth. Don't run from them. Just head right straight at them and give them your best shot. And I love this one, and I try to apply this to my life every day. I just want to kind of throw this out as words of wisdom for you as we start the program. Live and breathe the truth. It's the most positive, stress-free way to live, because the truth always reveals itself eventually anyway. Don't try to just be impressive. Try to be true. That means having integrity, doing the right thing, even when you know that nobody is watching. And then last thing, and we'll get to our guest, help the people around you smile tomorrow. There's a lot of people that has their head down. There's a lot of people raging with anger and hate. There's a lot of people that just think they've got the short end of the stick. Love people. Go out into the world tomorrow and be nice to each other. Give somebody one of your smiles at the right time, a kind word from a stranger or an unexpected encouragement from a friend can make all the difference in the world to people. So just look at them in the eye and smile, even if you have to pull the face mask down a little bit to let them see the smile. But just smile at them, nod, let them know you care. Kindness is free, but it's also priceless. And as you know, what goes around sometimes comes around. So just be extra positive tomorrow as we start a new month, and it's going to pay you back in great dividends. I just know it. Next week, right here on the program, 8 p.m. Central Time next Sunday night, we're going to have Professor Sean from the University of Michigan. I did a webinar with him. We both conducted a webinar. We kind of passed the baton back and forth. I believe it was last week, and it opens up tomorrow to all the University of Michigan residents and fellows and doctors and physicians and people around the country that want to get CMEs can get online with that. And we talked, had a great discussion. And I asked Sean while we were taking a break from that training, hey, would you like to be on the program? Just a great speaker. And I think he's from Flint, Michigan, but he'll be with us next Sunday night, Professor Sean from the University of Michigan. If you want to call in tonight, here's a number to write down, because I want to encourage you to grab a pencil, a piece of paper, an ink pen, a notepad, or whatever, because I know our guest tonight is going to share some things with you that you're going to want to write down and remember. And if you want to call in and have a comment or a question for our guest tonight, that is 888-627-6008. And our wonderful producer tonight, Douglas, is going to answer the phone and just be so kind to you, and we'll patch you right in to us. 888-627-6008. Tonight, we are going international. We are going straight to British Columbia, Canada, and we have an awesome guest with us tonight. Tracy Maxfield is the author of Escaping the Rabbit Hole, My Journey Through Depression. And she has an awesome website. I've been on it pretty well the last couple of weeks, just looking and reading and studying and examining it and checking out her blogs at TracyMaxfield.com. And that website has recently was awarded the silver medal for the best author website 2019 at the Elite Awards. And her book was the top 10 finalist in the nonfiction category at the Author Academy Awards. And she has appeared on ABC, NBC, Fox TV morning shows, live radio, over 75 podcasts in the United States, Canada, New Zealand. All of our friends down in New Zealand, we love New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. And she has her own YouTube channel. And I love these three words that she used, and we're going to talk about it a lot tonight: engage, educate, and empower. And I believe in the next few weeks, I will be on her program, her podcast, and it is a joy and an honor to welcome straight from Kelowna, British Columbia, Canada, our guest tonight, Tracy Maxfield. Are you there, Tracy? Can you hear me?
I certainly am. Thank you so much. It was what a lovely introduction. I've got a lot to live up to now.
Well, I've just been excited. I don't even know, Tracy, how we connected. I believe we just kind of found each other. And
yes.
Yeah, you shared your story with me. I shared my story with you. And we both said, hey, this may be a good fit for our program. So it's just an honor to have you with us tonight. And I love your accent, by the way.
That's the Brit in me. I haven't lost it entirely.
That is great. First of all, I just want to welcome you and just grab a cup of coffee and just lean back and relax, and let's just pretend we're just sitting here around a dining room table just chatting. But I have to. I have read your book. I loved your book. And I want to know those folks that haven't been able to look at that or that becoming aware of it for the first time tonight, explain to me what escaping the rabbit hole is all about and what enticed you to even share that story and that journey that you had with depression in your own life. Just let us inside of your world for a few minutes, Tracy, if you would.
Absolutely. So escaping the rabbit hole is actually my life story as it evolved back in 2015 when I originally fell down the rabbit hole. I experienced an acute depressive episode or a nervous breakdown. To help some people understand. And it was as a culmination of all these things that had happened to me over a period of 4.5 years related to workplace bullying. And I'm a nurse. I'm a recently retired nurse, over 37 years experience. And I actually, when it happened on a Thursday, culminated in a meeting with my superior, who was my bully, which was extremely unpleasant. And I went home. I literally went to bed because I was just so absolutely exhausted and numb and I couldn't stop crying. And when I woke up in the morning, I actually thought I'd had a stroke because I physically could not move. And when I finally managed to kind of get my way to the edge of the bed, I remember sitting with my feet on the floor and my hands kind of nestled my head, and I was cradled over. And I just remember thinking, what has happened to me? I can't move. I'm in so much pain. And I felt like someone had come and poured cement when I was sleeping. And when I got up to walk, I actually fell onto the floor. And I didn't recognize that I had depression, that it was a depressive episode. I was overwhelmed. I was exhausted. I was, you know, the pain and the hopelessness. But I think it was the physical symptoms kind of really caught me by surprise. And I didn't really realize I was in danger. And it was not good until the Saturday evening when I made my first suicide attempt. And yes. And so after that, when I went to see my doctor the following week and explained everything that happened to me, she looked at me and she said, you've just had a major depression. Your brain's just broken. It's fractured. And so began my journey. I likened it to a rabbit hole because every time I felt like I was down in this very damp, dark, earthy place where I really couldn't see any light. There was maybe a faint chink of light far, far, far away, but everything was darkness. And I couldn't even see walls. I felt like I was entombed somewhere, for want of a better word. And when I was lying there and thinking of it, I just felt like I was down the rabbit hole. And that's my exact words that I said to my doctor. I feel like I've fallen down a rabbit hole. And that kind of stuck with it because that was my way of trying to tell people that I was in a very, very dark place that I didn't even know how to get out of. I literally could not even fathom how I was supposed to get out of this place. Despite medications, I was seeing a therapist, a psychologist who was excellent. And I'd had two previous episodes of depression, one in my early 30s, another one in my 40s, but they were nothing compared to this. It was absolutely terrible. And I couldn't fathom that depression could be like this, because what you read in the textbooks is not quite the same. And it was actually about a year into therapy. I was having very intensive therapy, and my psychologist suggested that I start writing a blog to try and convey what I was going through and what I was feeling, because many of my friends were in the healthcare profession, and doctors and nurses and social workers, and even when I was telling them what I was going through, they didn't get it, because I'm a Brit. And so, you know, the British thing is stiff upper lip and always put your best foot forward. So, you know, when you would go out, you'd always try and look nicely dressed and groomed. And so people would see me and think everything was fine. And it was opening up in the blog, which was extremely hard. And I thought about it for about 3 weeks. Did I really want to let people climb into my brain? And then I thought, you know what? They need to understand, because I don't want anyone else to think what they're going through is abnormal and that they're on their own, you know? And so that was the beginning. And each time I wrote a blog, I would get comments saying, I never realized that, you know, I have a better understanding of my patients. You need to put this in the book. And it continued for about 6 months of everyone could tell me, write a book. And I was like, no, 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 I don't want to do that. I can't put my life out there. And as I started to heal more and I started to see that there was an escape out of the rabbit hole, that it was possible, I thought, no, you know what? I think I need to look at this, because if I can tell my story and show others that there is hope and there is a way out, then that's what I want to share, right? That you're not alone, that it's going to take time, but there is hope. I never, ever want anyone to lose that little ray of light, that chink of hope. And so, yes, that's basically how the book was born, for want of a better word.
Right. Well, Tracy, when you started to experience, you know, here you are, three, almost four decades of professionalism in the healthcare business, at probably at the top of your game. Mm-hmm. When did you first notice that it was creeping in? Or do you notice that the depression and the downtime is creeping in and you push it away? Or did it just come to you like a tidal wave? Or was it a slow drip from the faucet and it built up? Explain to the folks out there, and maybe the people that have experienced or experiencing depression right now, how did you recognize, was it just that Thursday, boom, the whole world fell apart? Or you knew it was coming, but you just ignored it and pushed it down and kept pushing it away, hoping it would go away?
I think that when the bullying started, initially I kind of just ignored it. And I knew I was getting the stress, the pressure was climbing and climbing. Around time everything started to happen, my marriage fell apart. We ended up separating. I had to move into my own place. We ended up getting divorced. And so I was going through all this different life trauma at the same time. And so I kind of threw myself into work. And, you know, I'm always being, I give 110%. I would say it was in the final year, so approximately June, July of 2014, when the bullying reached an all-time high. It was really, really bad, and I knew that the stress was getting the better of me. I was getting really tired. I wasn't eating properly. Just the thought of having to get out of bed and go to work. And I never used to be like that. I used to love walking into work. And that kind of, it, you know, went over the summer. And then in the December, things got even worse. And that's when I realized that maybe something was going on. And that maybe I can't say I felt the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness that I had had before and the sadness with depression, but I could feel some changes, some emotional changes. As I said, it was the eating pattern. It was the sleep. It was the, I just didn't want to exercise. I was so tired.
Right.
But even, you know, I didn't sleep well. And then when I did sleep well, when I woke up, I still didn't feel refreshed. And it was in the, I would say, in the winter of 2015 that I got really sick. I ended up having two bouts of pneumonia. And I'd never, ever been sick. And so I had very bad pneumonia. And then no sooner had I recovered than I had a bacterial and then I had a viral. And I thought, okay, you're getting burnt out. I started to recognize burnout. I would walk into work and I just wanted to turn around and not go in and just go home. And with the responsibility and the work that I was doing, I knew I couldn't. And so I realized that things were not going well. But I still thought, okay, just keep going. Things will get better. And unfortunately, they didn't. And so I would liken it to, I was kind of like a beaver. I was building a little dam. And everything was kind of going up against the dam. And then in June, things went extremely bad with the workplace bullying, where I was removed from my position and moved to another office to do quote-unquote project work. But at the same time, I was cut off from my work colleagues. I was cut out of emails. I was completely excluded and isolated. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, at that point, the dam was breaking. It was getting fractured. And with the meeting that then ensued that Thursday in August, it just ruptured, completely ruptured. And that was it. There was no going back.
And that's where we're going to take it to the first break, because I tell you what, in this first segment, Tracy, you've mentioned the word bullying several times. You know, adults don't realize that we are bullied just as much as what children are. And I love that you are an advocate and a champion for bullying now, not only for adults, but for children too. And you have a program with that. But when we come back after this first break, we're going to drill a little bit deeper into this dam building up and what caused those logs to start to hold up and back up and build up as the pressure of those waves just started coming in harder and harder. And bullying was the major cause of that. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper. Stay with us. We'll be right back in about a minute and 8 seconds after our first commercial break with Tracy Maxfield right here on BBS Radio. Stay with us. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. All right. I'm so excited about that book coming out, and I'm not for sure we're going to hit June, but I'm trying as hard as I can because I'm adding another resource, and we're working on that as fast as we can, a companion guide for children. And I think with the guest tonight, Tracy, I think this is absolutely right down your alley of wisdom.
Absolutely.
Because I think children need a path to be able to share their own emotions. So I'm going to try to break the book down into a journal to teach the kids how to write down their thoughts and to get vent some of those things out so it doesn't dam up in their own life and cause an overwhelming cloud or storm of depression. On your story, Tracy, with the bullying, I'm really interested in how prevalent do you think workplace and bullying is just the best word for it. I guess superior or supervisor dominance or downgrading, how prevalent is that in today's workplace, at what you found out in your own training and speaking around the countries?
So I think what lots of people don't realize is that workplace bullying is very, very prevalent. I mean, statistics, the recent statistics are indicating that approximately 40 to 60% of workers are bullied on a weekly basis. And when you think about how large our workforce is, 40 to 60% is a very large number. And we know that of all those bullying, about 60, I'd say 72% maybe, is actually done by the superior or the manager. And so the challenge is that, as you know, when you're an employee and it's either your employer or your supervisor or your manager who is the bully, you're kind of backed into a corner. It's very difficult because, especially if it's your, let's say it's your employer, they're the ones that write the checks. And so you have that fear of, who can I report this to? Who can I turn to? Who's going to believe me? Who's going to stand with me? I think those are the big things. The biggest challenge that I found was that in the particular workplace environment where I was, it had a very long history of bullying and not responding appropriately to bullies. My particular bully, I discovered when I filed grievances that I was victim number 8, and I was the very first one to actually file grievances and take it further. And even after all that happened to me and everything I did, she was actually not finally dealt with until victim number 12.
Wow.
And
yeah, do you...
This is not uncommon.
Did this not force you, but did this encourage you to retire earlier than what you probably would have?
Yes. Because, I mean, I ended up going on medical leave until the end of the year, and then ended up going on disability, short-term disability, because my psychologist and doctor said, you can never go back there. You absolutely cannot go back there. And then when, obviously, with the healing, and then I started, the website and the YouTube, and then traveling to talk about mental illness and bullying in children and teenagers, I decided that I would concentrate on that. And when the opportunity came that I could actually take early retirement, I decided, you know, now was the time. When I escaped the rabbit hole, and I say in my book that everything that happened to me, as horrible as it was, I consider it a gift, and it brought me onto a different path, and I call that path my new life journey. And, you know, this is where I am right now.
Right. Now, without going into specifics about your bullying, but the effects that it had on you and the depression that you ended up falling into this rabbit hole, as you put it. If there's somebody listening, and I know there is, about that's dealing with depression, dealing with this darkness, this trappedness, like we said in the commercial, this have you ever felt like you were drowning and you couldn't get another breath? That's the anxiety sometimes I felt before I tried to kill myself. It was just like you couldn't catch it anymore. What words from your journey can you share with those folks right now that are sitting on the edge of their seat listening and saying, Tracy, help me with what I'm going through? What words of wisdom do you have for them tonight?
I think the first thing I'm going to say to them is, please believe that you are not alone. Do not think that you are alone. You are not alone. Absolutely not alone. I would encourage you need to reach out. And reach out is whether it be a counselor, a therapist, your doctor, family, partner, friend. Please reach out to somebody. Absolutely, please reach out and have that connection and share what is going on with you and what you're feeling. And I think the biggest words that I can offer is, it's hard to believe right now, but it does get better. It's not, you're not going to wake up the next day and it's suddenly all okay. It's going to be a long journey and it's going to be hard work, but it will get better. And when you emerge from this darkness, you will be a better, I don't want to say a better person, a different person. Your life will be forever different, but it'll be more positive and happier than you ever thought possible because you were going to dip into reserves of strength and resilience and
Yes.
tenacity that you don't even think you have inside you right now. And I can 100% attest to this because I was there. And if you sat down and spoke to my psychologist, he would tell you the number of times I would go to the office and say, I can't do this anymore. I
Yes.
can't. It's so emotionally and physically exhausting and draining. And I understand why people say, that's it. I need the pain to end. And they look at suicide as an option. And don't go there. Reach out for somebody. Reach out because every single person that has survived a suicide attempt, and I can talk to this, will say, I never wanted to die. I wanted to end the pain. And that they wanted to keep living, but they needed to find a different way of living with this darkness. It's like this huge weight, this huge cloud that's just taking everything out of you, your heart and your
Yes.
soul, everything. And that's why you can't do it entirely on your own. If you have a very limited support system, reach out to your doctor and get connected with maybe an online support group or a therapist, or there is somebody there. There is.
Yeah.
And I think once you have that opportunity to express your fears and the thoughts and everything that's going on, it's strange to say, but you will feel lighter and you will feel almost empowered to share your
Yeah.
story. And I love what you mentioned about journaling. Yes, I journaled all the way throughout my time in the rabbit hole.
Yes.
Journaling is the opportunity for, I call it creative expression. And whether or not you journal, you write poetry, you write stories, you may turn to music or you may express it in art, but conveying what you're going through so you can actually look at it or listen to it, feel it will help you because the longer it stays inside you, it gets darker and more oppressive and heavier.
Yes, and the poison just grows, and the
It does.
toxicity is just unbelievable.
It does. And unfortunately, we are our own worst enemies. The irony is that there is no person on earth who can be more nasty and a harsher critic to us than ourselves.
Yeah, that's
And
so true.
when you were in that place, I call them ants in the brain, automatic negative thoughts. one bad thought becomes two, becomes 10, becomes 100. And before you know it, you have written a story which is so completely untrue about yourself that you believe it. And I found that I had to start reframing things. And this is what I do, especially when I'm doing the work with kids, is that with the negatives, you have to pull out the positives.
Right.
Because positives will actually lift your spirit and it will distract you. And if you can start thinking of positives about yourself or good things that you've done, it will help show that, you know what, everything else is, it's become a story of fiction.
And these are, I want to ask you to rephrase that or say it again. Ants, automatic negative thoughts?
In my book, I call them ants in the brain, automatic negative thoughts. You never see one ant. If you see one, you're going to see two, which are followed by 10, and the next minute, you've got the nest. And when we are down on ourselves and when we are beating ourselves up, we just allow them to just go wild, and we create a narrative in our brain that, I mean, it's amazing how horrible we can be to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And most of that is fiction. Most of that, those thoughts that we're saying is opposite, even though there's bad things in our lives that we're dealing with. But we always go to that, those phrases of no one, never, always, instead of, you know, I always did that when I was, you know, 15, 16 and was trying to get out of the world. Nobody loves me. Nobody will ever care. Everybody hates me. And it always becomes that far extreme of what reality really is.
It is. And what happens is, as you know, right, when you were down in that darkness, it just fuels the pain, and the pain becomes so intense that you're like, I can't do this anymore. And that's why it's, you know, if you have a negative, counter with a positive. You have to counter with a positive. And, I mean, in my book, I talk a lot about gratitude, because it was my psychologist that said, Tracy, you're journaling everything, which is great, but you've got to start changing the mindset and expressing gratitude. And I laughed and I said, I'm in hell. What have I got to be grateful for? And he kind of looked at me and said, you can breathe. You have a roof over your head. You have food on the table. Let's begin with that. And it's what I'm finding, especially with what's going on right now, globally with the pandemic, it's because there is so much fear and uncertainty and confusion, and especially kids are struggling really hard because this is the time in their life when peer support and relationships are so important, and we've kind of, you know, had to say that can't happen right now. When they see everything that's going on, it's like taking a step back, and with depression I found this was really helpful, and just being present in the here and now and looking at what is in my life here today and what is it that I'm grateful for. And it took me a while. You know, gratitude doesn't come necessarily easy, not when you're in the midst of some darkness. But it took me about 2 weeks to finally get what gratitude truly was. And it's experiencing those small moments of joy that make you smile or give you make you feel at peace and relaxed. And gratitude is, you know, leaves on a tree, sun shining, you know, sunshine on your face. I said feeling a snowflake melting on my tongue. It goes into mindfulness and appreciating the small things in life. But it does switch you from that constant turmoil and anxiety and negativity to looking at, you know what, my life sucks right now, and I need to get out of this rabbit hole, but I still was able to appreciate five things today that made me feel good. I think that's the mindset you need to start looking at.
Yeah, that creating that attitude of gratitude is important. And I've always found yes. that, at least in my day, it's amazing if you start your day with that. Most people start their day by getting on their cell phone and checking out who mouthed off about some Facebook post yes. of theirs, and yes. it gets us irritated before we ever get out from underneath the covers. That's the wrong way Absolutely. To start your day. You just Absolutely. Can't start your day that way, because it does take our minds off what we do have that we should be grateful for. And in this world, sometimes you have to really squint hard for some people to find anything when they're in, like you put it, that rabbit hole. It's hard to find light when you are in darkness. And that's why my third book is entitled Dancing in the Darkness. And that's what I'm going to use that third book about. How do you find joy while you are in the dark still? That's tough. But I've been able to find that, and that's so good, so good. Hey, on the other side of this break, boy, time just flying by, Tracy. I knew it would. On the other side of this break, we're going to be talking about, and I love these words, and I'm going to steal these words from you: engage, educate, and empower, because those are just so powerful just on their own. Educate. Engage and empower. We're going to talk about that and your work with children and depression and mental illness and bullying on the other side of this break. If you want to call in, this is a perfect time to call during the commercial, 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after this break for another segment of Breaking the Silence. Be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Thank you, Douglas. Appreciate that. If you get a chance, get online on Amazon and not only look at my book, but look at the guest book that's on there, too. I love the cover. I love the book, Escaping the Rabbit Hole, and you will enjoy it. It's almost a money-back guarantee type of book. And Tracy, I appreciate you sharing your life with the world, because that's not the easiest thing to do. It puts you in a very vulnerable place. Now you mentioned early in the program that you had a battle with the darkness or depression, or however you want to put it, in the 30s, in your 30s, yeah. in your 40s, and then yeah. this final one. Now, yeah. as we look at those three episodes, what about your childhood? Was there anything in there that orchestrated the way you handled things, the way you were told to, hey, get up and dust yourself off, it'll be all right, don't hurt, don't cry, don't share your feelings? Was there anything that could have affected the way you handled or dealt with things in your later years as a child?
Oh, definitely. It's funny. Now that I'm out the rabbit hole and I look back and take inventory of my entire life, I had an extremely abusive childhood. And I look, my A score, adverse childhood experiences, is 5 out of 10. And I kind of laugh and go, how could you not have fallen down the rabbit hole? Primarily, initially started off as physical and emotional. Then when I was able to run fast enough away from my father and barricade myself in the bedroom, the physical abuse abated. But then the psychological and emotional kind of went up to an all-time high level. It was just horrendous. And actually, yes, it shapes who you are, because you learn very quickly that you can't complain, that you have to keep silent, that, you know, crying is a sign of weakness. Everything from a very young age motivated me to leave home. I knew I had to escape home. And so, you know, from the age of 2, it was always, I'm going to be a nurse. And the age of 5, it was, I'm going to move to the United States. And I think, in the midst of everything that was happening, that kind of kept me going until I was finally able to leave home at 19 and start nursing. But I think despite having therapy when I was in my 20s, the first episode of depression kind of still surprised me, but it was a culmination of all my childhood, because I'd finally walked away from my family and were done. To save my life, I needed to walk away. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you still have the guilt and the question.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and when I made that decision to walk away, of course, I was seen as the black sheep of the family, and it was all my fault. I had asked for the abuse. I had instigated it. And yep. That, you know, and it was that sheer hurt that all you ever wanted was for your parents to love you and accept you, and they couldn't do that. And so, you know, I had my first bout of depression resolved with therapy reasonably quickly. And then I, you know, life went along for about another 12 to 14 years before I had my second episode. And it was at that time then that they diagnosed me with a genetic depression. And again, there was no, you know, suicide ideation. Took a little bit longer. Addressed issues within, you know, my family, because that was the realization that my mother had also been an abuser and had allowed everything to happen. So I think that was my anger and frustration at how could you do that to your children. But I still think that, you know, it's those wounds, right? They're there and you put a Band-Aid on them and you think you're doing okay. And then when you're in a situation where you're being bullied and you're stressed and you're overworked, and it was so many things, right? It was a new job. It was being bullied. My marriage fell apart. I was living on my own. So there were so many stressors. And then the bullying got worse. And the bullying was so very personal. And the mannerisms and things that were said were reminiscent of what I was told when I was a child.
Yeah.
And everything, right? The wound opened, like it just gaped open like a volcano.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, now I look back and say, of course I fell down the rabbit hole. But I still didn't see it coming, you know, and I think now in the work that I'm doing, especially, you know, with children and teenagers, I talk so much about ACEs to try and help parents and adults and teachers understand what abuse, what trauma can do to that, you know, to that child's brain. We know it changes the shape and structure of the brain as it develops, but also,
absolutely,
you know, the culprit, you know, the coping strategies and the behaviors that, you know, a child will learn in order to continue to move forward. Because even if you're in an abusive relationship, you still always want that love and acceptance and validation of a parent.
Sure. And you know what? In my book, I talk about the terrible twins, which is shame and guilt. And you mentioned that in the early part, because it is. It's a thing that they... When you even try to get help, then the shame and guilt overcomes, and you have to literally kick them out of your world But boy, they want to live inside your head for so long. And shame and guilt is still two residents that I have a major issue with in my world, in my mental world. I want them out, but boy, they keep revisiting.
They do. And I think, you know, when your brain has sustained this stress, this trauma from an early age, and you carried it through your adult life, it will never completely go away. We will learn how to suppress it and redirect it. But sometimes it comes out and, you know, you've got to kind of look at it and go, okay, let's take a step back, take a breath. Now, what is it that I want to do? And again, I love a word that you used at the very beginning, integrity. Integrity and respect and understanding, you know, and kindness. And it's, you've got to be kind to yourself as well as be kind to others. And yes, when I first, my book first came out and I started telling my story, even though my book doesn't go into great depth about my childhood, if I spoke about it on a podcast, I would get some very nasty messages. That should be buried, and that is in the past. And I'm like, no, you should never let your past define you, but you cannot escape what your past has allowed to be created as part of your narrative. And I'm using it to help others, to help, as I said, engage, educate, empower others. I'm not there to finger point and blame. I've forgiven my parents. I've moved past that. And I understand that it's a life experience which has shaped me to who I am. And but, you know, but it's, yes, I don't think we can ever go through life thinking that with therapy and medication and time that it'll just completely disappear in the brains. It doesn't, but I think it helps us recognize who we are and what we want to offer the world and how we can move forward.
Absolutely. Now, when you get the opportunity in these last few moments of the show tonight, when you get the opportunity to be with kids and to teach them and train them, the children and the teenagers that you have the opportunity to to train in workshops or classes or sessions, what are just a few of the things that you want to make sure before you walk out of that classroom or before you leave their presence that they hear that our children of today's world needs to understand as clearly as possible?
So, I mean, the first thing I say, because my focus is on mental illness, is that there's nothing wrong with them. They have not done anything wrong. They are not damaged. They're not deformed. That they need to understand, and that's why I talk a lot about brain health and what is brain health, so they understand the brain and body connection, but also that I encourage them that even if they don't feel that they can talk with their parents or a family member, to reach out to a trusted adult. And that's why lots of the work that I do is that I tell everyone, we are all responsible for kids today. Even if you don't have children or your children are grown up and left the nest, we are responsible because we can be mentors and guiding forces. And that we can help a child or a teenager who is confused, who is struggling, who just needs to have that person that I say, be there. Sometimes you don't even need to say anything, but if you are there with them in that moment, you can be such a source of strength and comfort. And to think what a wonderful gift it is that you have a child or a teenager come to you, because we know that they don't trust a lot of people. And so that they have someone that they can come to talk, to share stories, for guidance, support. Think of what a wonderful gift that is, that you can help them set the stones for their path, for their life path. And so you know, don't look and say, oh, go and talk to your mother. No, be open, because you could be saving their life. And so I always encourage them to seek out that trusted adult. It could even be the neighbor, but that there is somebody. And I think it's, if you are in pain, if you know something bad is going on, or if you know of someone that's going through something, be the upstander. Go and tell someone, confide, get help.
Yes.
And I know for some kids that is really difficult because the situations that they are in, and in an ideal world, there would be immediate help. But that's why I think we as a community, as a society, need to step up and be that beacon of hope, that beacon of light when they need it, because we have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. We're so quick to judge other people, and we're also so quick to try and compare ourselves and be better than other people, but you don't know what's going on. And so it's be open and be kind. And with kids, it's empowering them that they have a voice and that they can be anything that they want to be. Never, ever allow, I always say, never allow anyone to steal your spark.
That's good. And, you know, I know you're a huge fan of ACEs, and
yes,
you believe in that, because I think in toxic stress and adverse childhood experiences, it always talks about this is what can happen to you in the absence of
an adult
buffer.
Yeah,
of somebody that could be there to be a champion. That champion, like you said, doesn't have to be mom and dad. It could be a teacher. It could be a counselor. It could be someone at your church. It could be a friend. But it has to be, we all have to be champions to someone. And if we can just be that one or two people, we're changing lives. Because if not, Tracy, at a score of 5, I have an 8 in the ACEs. You have a score of 5. Years off your life should have been shaved off because of the amount of ACEs that you have. There's children that are walking around right now that are sitting at home now in the house 24/7 with the abuser. They don't even get the freedom to go out to school for the freedom. They are sitting there now trapped in their home 24/7 with the person. So we have to be able to open our eyes and just be more kind than what we ever have, especially to our kids and to our teenagers, and to show them how much we care.
They're our future.
Yes, absolutely.
They are our future. And, you know, we have got to give them a fighting chance in this world, because we know, I mean, the world I grew up in, the world you grew up in, this world is very scary and it's changed. Yes. And they have to deal with situations and images and, you know, just everything that goes on is so scary and confusing and horrible. And this is a very difficult world to navigate as a child or a teenager. And so we really have to help give them the roadmap and help them with the directions. Just because you treat them like they're adults, they're not adults. They're kids. Their brains are not fully developed yet. And, you know, more than anything, I always say, there is a reason behind every behavior. And so if a child is angry, if they're mad, if they're crying all the time, if they're withdrawing, don't say it's hormones. Don't say, oh, they're going through a stage, they're attention seeking. No, take a step back and find out what's going on, because you really need to help them. It's not acting out. There could be something going on in their life, like bullying, like abuse, that they are very confused and scared about. And so don't dismiss it.
That's right. I tell you what, Tracy, we're out of time, but I appreciate it. If you want to get a hold of Tracy, her website is a beautiful website, Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, Maxfield.com, and her book, Escaping the Rabbit Hole. Get on there, read her her book, her blogs, her podcast. Tracy, it was a joy having you with us from Canada tonight. I thank you for the time, and I want to go ahead and invite you back to come back on so we can dig a little deeper, if you wouldn't mind. I'd love to do that.
That will be my absolute pleasure, and I can't wait to have you on my podcast too.
Looking forward to that, Tracy, hopefully in the next week or two. And I tell you what,
yes,
we always
absolutely.
Close with absolutely. We always close with the same thought, and Tracy said it so beautifully in an early part, no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're involved in right now, there's always something to have gratitude towards. And I want to let you know, no matter how dark or how deep that rabbit hole is in your own personal life, there is always, always hope. Thank you for joining us tonight. Be with us next week for another live edition from Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Have an awesome week. God bless, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.